I mean, so, you know, that's, I have a problem sometimes. We talk about, you know, word of knowledge in that regard. But when we talk about a word of knowledge, what we're saying is that, that it's based in the word of God. And God gives a revelation or illumination on the word of God. And you're able to get a word from the scripture, and you're able to give it to someone else and share with them the specific answer for the need that they might have.
Hello and welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Bible and spiritual gifts. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Bible and spiritual gifts.
The Spirit of God, then you're not saved. Now that's not Pastor Glaze saying, I'm not judging you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm telling you how a T.I. is. If you do not have the Spirit of God, you are not saved. All right? He goes on to say, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth where? In you. All right. So if you're here today and you're saved, what do you have? The Holy Spirit. All right. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what did that Spirit bring when you got saved? There you go. There you go. So you can't sit here today. You cannot sit here today and say that you're a child of God and you don't have a spiritual gift. By nature of the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have a spiritual gift. So if you're sitting here today and you tell me that you don't have a spiritual gift or you don't know what your spiritual gift is, that means either one or two things. Number one, it means that you're not saved. Okay? It means that you're not saved. Or it means that you saved and you don't know, and you should know that you know that you know that you're saved. All right? Okay, so one of two things. So you have a gift. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want to ask you, I don't care how young you are or how old you are, do you know? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Do you know what your spiritual gift is? All right? Yeah, I just want you to think about that, because the Bible says that we have one. Now, the second thing that I want to say is that spiritual gifts are given to believers by God at his discretion. You know, you can't choose your spiritual gift. You can't choose your spiritual gift. Romans chapter 12 in verse 3, it says, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You see, God has a deck of cards, and God has gifts in this deck of cards. And God already knows what's on the other side of the card. And Paul said, when you sat down at the heavenly card table, and you started playing cards with God. And you say, man, you're giving a worldly illustration there. I'm just saying, the scripture said he dealt, right? It said that he dealt them, right? That's the only illustration that I know that deals with dealt. All right, do y'all got dealt up there, man? All right, okay, dealt, all right. So God dealt to you the card that he wants you to have, all right? You didn't choose the cards. You can't sit down. Now, if you was playing poker, you can sit down and you can say, give me three aces and two kings. All right? You got a full house. You win every time. You'll win every time. But you can't do that. You got to deal with the cards that have been dealt you. And so God dealt you a gift. Whether you like it or whether you don't like it, God dealt you a gift. God gave to you a gift. And he realized, see, this is the thing. God realizes what the body needs. God knows what Bethany Baptist Church needs. And God, when he set people at the table, and that's why you're here today. You're here maybe because you checked out Bethany before. You studied Bethany, you understood Bethany, and then you came and you chose to come to Bethany. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't choose to come to Bethany. God led you here. God brought you here. I hope he brought you here now, all right? If you're here because of some other reason, then we got some troubles, all right? Hopefully you came here because God, well, however it was, he led you here through this or through that or through that or the other, but God led you here. And when God led you here, he already knew what your gift was, and the reason that God brought you here is because he knew that you had a gift that was needed here. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He knew that he had put in you what Bethany Baptist Church needed. Gifts are given to believers at God's discretion. Every believer, number three, has one or more spiritual gifts. That every person, you have at least one. You have at least one. Now, I will say this, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 29 and 30, that nobody has all the gifts. All right, because he said, are all apostles, are all prophets? And I mean, and the implication is no. So nobody has all the gifts, okay? But some people have more than one gift. Look at the note that I put in the column next to this. In order to perfect the saints and build up the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:12, God has given every believer one or more spiritual gifts. Speaking about the measure of faith given by God to believers in Romans 12:3, John MacArthur says this, in this context, a measure of faith seems to refer to the correct measure of the spiritual gift and its operating features that God sovereignly bestows on each believer. Every believer receives the exact gift and resources best suited to fulfill his role in the body of Christ. God gave you what you needed. As a matter of fact, it says that, look at the end of verse 3, he has dealt to every man the measure. Pastor Glaze has a measure of faith. God knew that I was supposed to be here, all right? I remember, and y'all heard this testimony before, that I had preached at Bethany, I think in the fall. And I had opportunities, you know, one school was asking me to come to teach at a Bible college. And there was another church that was asking me to come and pastor. And I was already pastor in the church. And I was a football coach. I was doing both. But I knew that this is where God wanted me to be. Bethany called me up here to preach. I believe it was in the fall. Went all the way through January. I think I came back and preached again. Y'all still didn't make a decision. Still. My wife told me, why don't you just curse God? No, she didn't say that. No, she didn't say that. My wife said, look, Bill, you know, we can't put our lives on hold waiting for Bethany. I said, well, I feel this is where God wants me to go. And she said, well, you know, you okay. And I waited now. I waited, saints. And it was about a year after the first time I preached here that I got a call from Deacon Garrick Wiley. He called me and he said, brother, you the one. I think I had like 99% of the vote. Who didn't vote for Pastor Glenn? Which one of y'all didn't vote for me? All right. There was 100 people at that meeting, right? 99 voted for, no, I'm just kidding. But I knew that this is where I was supposed to be. Because, you know, one of the things that I knew that this was a teaching church, and I knew it was a missions church. And I knew that was in my spirit. And I knew that that's what, I knew I wanted to be a part of that. And God brought it together. And so God brings together people with the gifts that's needed in a specific situation. Number four, spiritual gifts are to be used to serve others in the body of Christ. 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. He says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He says, as everyone has received the gift, whatever your gift is, he said that you need to minister the same to one another, that you need to use your gift to serve one another. And see, sometimes that's why, you know, the problem with certain gifts is that first and foremost, you know, gifts are not for you. Okay, gifts are not for you. Now you can't, I know we do it, you know, we buy things for ourselves. But how many people buy gifts for yourself? You know, you don't buy a gift for yourself. You buy things for yourself. You buy a gift for somebody else. And if God has given you a gift, it's not for you. He's gifted you so that you could be a blessing to others in the body, so that there will be others that will be blessed by your gift. That if, you know, if you are sitting, you know, I heard the story about this great violinist and how that when he retired, he wanted his violin to go to the city of his birth. And he donated his personal violin. He donated it to the city of his birth. He only asked one thing. He said, I ask that you retire this violin and it never be played again. The problem was is that the wood that it was constructed of, it needed to be used and handled on a regular basis. And when he donated it, it sat there in the violin case and it began to decay, it began to rot, and it began to fall apart. And what this is a reminder is that this moldering instrument is a reminder that when we withdraw from service in the kingdom of God, that we lose our significance and we lose our meaning. That God has you here so that you can bless somebody's socks off. That's why God had you. Don't have, you might not have big bucks, I'm not saying that, but you got a gift. You got a gift. And God has you here. God lifted you up from wherever you were at. He placed you here, and God said, look, I've gifted you, and now I want you to be a blessing. I want you to bless folks. Is that your attitude, man? Just bless folks. I preached a whole message last week on just giving. You know, this whole thing, when you give your life, when you give it away, man, there's so much reward and there's so many blessings. You know, when you just hold in and you keep in, man, you begin to shrivel up and you begin to get like that wicked witch on the Wizard of Oz when they threw that water on her. Oh, I'm shrinking. You know, you start shrinking. You start shriveling up. And God has called us to be this conduit that we receive the blessings and they flow out through us. But let me move on. Number five. Gifts, spiritual gifts, are not the same as natural talents. Spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. A natural talent is a God-given or naturally developed human ability, such as the capability to sing, speak, play music, play a musical instrument, or excel at sports. Okay, those are natural gifts. Those are natural abilities. Those are even God-given. Some of those are God-given. If you've ever seen an athlete that could just do incredible things. Man, I was watching a slam dunk contest the other night. I don't know how many of y'all saw it, man. There was this one guy. I forget what team he was from. But this guy almost jumped from, he wasn't even at the foul line. He was way before the foul line. He jumped, and they threw that ball up there in midair. And he just was up there, and he hung, man. It seemed like he hung up there for eternity and just came down and, boom, jammed it. I looked at him, I said, whoa, man, that's incredible. I said, I'm afraid to jump off of this for fear I might twist my ankle. I saw Deacon Mike Cephas come up here one time. He just did one of those numbers. I said, go ahead, Mike, you're a bad dude, man. I tried to do it, man. One time I got my foot hung up right there. So I'm impressed with the God-given talent. Yeah, you know, you can't do that unless you've been blessed by God. Yeah, you might work hard. You know, that people work hard, and there are some people that work hard, and they can do some things because they work hard. But, you know, there are just some people that have just been naturally blessed by God. They have natural ability that only came from God. And that's a good thing. But that's not a spiritual gift. That's not a spiritual gift. Because you might have been doing that before you got saved and you didn't have the Holy Ghost. All right? You only get spiritual gifts when you get saved. God brings the spiritual gifts the moment that you get saved. Now, we're going to talk about the spiritual gifts in the upcoming weeks. Number six, spiritual gifts should not lay dormant, but are to be actively used in the body of Christ. And John MacArthur, once again, I love him. He just has so much insight, so that's why I quote him quite a bit. But this is deep. Once again, keep in mind that this whole section on spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12 springs out of what? Romans chapter 12, chapter 1. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It comes out of that. And look what MacArthur says. He says, the purpose of offering ourselves to God as living sacrifices is not mystical or monastic, but eminently practical. Devotion to the Lord and active faithful ministry for him are inseparable. We cannot be truly sacrificed to him and be inactive in his work. My. This passage utterly destroys the notion that a Christian can be committed to Christ but be inactive in his service. That he can love the Lord but not obey the Lord. That he can be surrendered to the Lord but not minister for the Lord. True worship cannot be divorced from service. Man, that's powerful. That's powerful. And once again, what's that whole passage coming out of? It's coming out of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where he says, present your body as a living sacrifice. And that when you present your body a living sacrifice, he will gift you for what he's called you to do. Number seven, spiritual gifts indicate God's call and purpose for the life, for the believer's life. That when you understand what your gift is, then you know what your call is. You'll know what your purpose is. That when you understand when I understand my spiritual gifts, then I know what I've been called to do. Then I know the purpose that I have here. And so, just to encourage you, because as you look at a church, there are many ministries in the church. And I think one reason why people get so frustrated in ministry sometimes is because they're doing something that they've never been gifted to do. People get upset because they get frustrated. You know, one of the things that I found out, see, let me let you into a little secret, all right? I'm going to let you in on a secret, all right? I got some of y'all figured out. I really do, all right? And I'm going to tell you why I got you figured out. Because I understand, you know, there are some people, Pastor, you ought to tell them not to do this, and you ought to tell them not to do that. Why you let them get away with that, Pastor? See, that person got the gift of prophecy, right? They got the spiritual gift of prophecy. And sometimes I have to back up and say, I see where that's coming from. I still love you, but I know where you're coming from. I feel you. And that's where that's coming from. You know, I know, and I've asked some people, when they've sat down and they've said that, I said, is your top gift prophecy? And they say, yeah, every time. They say, yeah, every time. All right? And I understand that. Because, you know, you are John the Baptist. See, and wait till we start studying these gifts and we start getting into them. You know, John the Baptist, John the Baptist had the gift of prophecy. And so when the Pharisees were coming out there, he said, oh, you bunch of snakes, you generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He was hard, man. John the Baptist was hard. All right? So I understand. You know, and then there are some, you know, well, you know, man, you know, we got to be a little loving, you know. And see, here once again, here's another dynamic. Sitting down at the table, you got the prophet over here blasting the pastor because he's not hard enough, and you got the person with the gift of mercy over here saying, you know, now, Pastor, we need to be concerned about the elderly now. You know, we need to make sure that we're doing all that we can. All right, okay, see, understand. Where the prophet might say, hey, they're a member just like I am. Why they got to have special? Oh, okay. See, so it's blessed my heart to be able to understand how people, because you know what? This is what's in you. If the Spirit of God is in you, this is what's in you. And we're going to talk, one of the things that we're going to talk about as we go through are abuses of the gift. And one of the abuses of the gift is that the prophet wants to beat everybody up. The prophets sometimes don't want to show any love. They just want to criticize, and they want to be hard, and they want to blast folk. And if John the Baptist, let's be honest, if John the Baptist had a church, it'd only be probably him and his wife and his kids. All right, because he'd be blowing everybody up. And you know people like that. They beat people down, they blow them up, and then, you know, people, man, I don't want to be there where I'm getting beat up all the time. You know, every time I come to church, man, I get beat up. I get beat down. All right? So, you know, I understand where you're coming from, my brothers and sisters. So when you talk and I see that coming out of you, I understand what your gift is. All right? And so, you know, we look at this, and we see that spiritual gifts indicate God's call and purpose for the believer's life. Number eight, spiritual gifts used without love are meaningless. If you have a spiritual gift and you're not using it with love in your heart, it means absolutely nothing. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. He says in chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am nothing. I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though, look at this, verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. So whatever gift that you got, you know, I love to teach. You know, and somebody said, you know, there's two reasons. All right, the devil gonna hear me say this, but I'm gonna say it. There's two reasons why I'd never be unfaithful to my wife. Number one, now she's not here today, so I can say this, but she would agree with this too, is that I don't want to be disqualified from doing this. There's nothing that's worth being disqualified from me doing this. I'd never be unfaithful. And the second reason, because I'm afraid of my wife. No, I love my wife, man. Yeah, I love my wife. That's the bottom line right there. You know, I love her too much to even go that way. But the first reason, I'm going to be honest with you, man, I love the Lord, and I wouldn't want to dishonor him in any way, because I love this. And so the scripture says here that, you know, if you have these gifts and you don't have love, I love God, and I love to see people connect with the Word of God. Man, when I see somebody say, Pastor, you know, I got it. When I see the Lord spoke to my, oh, man, that fires me up. You know, I love it. And so whatever your gift is, it's got to be motivated. You can't be so, oh, well, you know, I'm just doing this because I got this old gift and I'm supposed to. Oh, you got the wrong attitude. All right, let me finish up. I know it's getting late. Believers will give an account to the Lord for how they use their spiritual gifts. You know, you're going to stand before the Lord one day, and I got three scriptures there. I'm not going to look at them. You can look at them. Three scriptures there to show you that one day that you will stand before the Lord and that you will give an account for your gift. So if you have a gift and you are not using your gift, then one day you got to stand before God and tell him why you didn't use your gift.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of The Gift of Prophecy. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, the Bible and spiritual gifts, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request the Bible and spiritual gifts, or program number 080224. Once again, that's 877-831-5060 and request the Bible and spiritual gifts, or program number 080224. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.